In 2 weeks is Pentecost Sunday on June 4th. And so what is everybody doing on June 4th at 3 p.m.? St. Mark? The other saint. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So, but it's been really... It's really great to be focusing on the work of the Holy Spirit here as we come into Pentecost, just to be reminded. And so as we get closer, I thought I was going in a direction, and apparently somebody else had a different idea. So maybe I'll get back to what else I was thinking of doing today next week. But so this is where it came to this week. You know, it's amazing as you're preparing these things how the Holy Spirit just says, you find it, you're going in a different direction. So it's really an exciting time. So in the my introductory paragraph here on the back of the bulletin, I'm just saying subtle is hardly the word one would use to describe the Pentecost event, nor quiet, nor gentle, nor boring, nor same old, same old. No, this terrifying, soul-shaking kingdom raid hit those gathered in that upper room with a Holy Spirit buzz that is still rocking the world. But how has it become for so many so optional, so esoteric, so that was then, this is now? Does the enemy fear the secret getting out? Or maybe it's because the very sweetest part of Holy Spirit ministry is without fanfare, behind the scenes, intimately revolutionary. And I think that's where we are. I think we focus in through the Pentecostal revival and the charismatic revival. We focused a lot of attention and wrote a lot of words about all the spectacular and the miraculous and the earth-shaking, and we assigned all of those things to Holy Spirit ministry, and we've missed in all the glitz and the glamour and the bling of that, we've forgotten that there's a whole lot more that he is involved in, that he is doing, that isn't necessarily as spectacular in that sense. And so I want us to look in a very surprising place this morning in writings of Peter, 2 Peter and 1st chapter. And I want to read it out of the Message this morning, because every once in a while Eugene Peterson's version, the Message, really hits it. And then I've taken great liberties with the passage and reworked it a bit in a very unauthorized version. So if you quote my version, it's just my version. But 2 Peter 2, the first 11 verses in the chapter 1, let me read those out of the Message, and then I'll show you my version later. I, Simon Peter, am a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. I write this to you, whose experience with God is as life-changing as ours, all due to our God's straight dealing and the intervention of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you many times over as you deepen in your experience with God and Jesus, our Master. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who has invited us to God, the best invitation we ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you, your tickets to participation in the life of God after you turned your back on a world corrupted by lust. So don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given, completing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness and generous love, each dimension fitting into and developing with the others. With these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. Without these qualities, you can't see what's right before you, oblivious to that old sinful life that has been wiped off the books. So, friends, confirm God's invitation to you, his choice of you. Don't put it off. Do it now. Do this, and you'll have your life on a firm footing, the streets paved and the way wide open into the eternal kingdom of our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so as I think of ministry here in terms of what the Holy Spirit is doing and what wants to do and is ready to do and is prepared to do, I see Peter pointing us to this message, even though in this passage he's not naming Holy Spirit ministry or the person of the Holy Spirit. But what Peter is doing is reminding his readers of the rich part, the rich dimension that is ours in our salvation, in this new life that has been given to us. And so I've taken these liberties in rewriting some of these verses to include mention of the Holy Spirit. I don't think it does violence to the text. I don't think it's heresy, because the Holy Spirit himself is the third person of the Trinity, God himself. And so here's my shortened and changed up version of the things Peter has said. I would say it like this for our purposes this morning on the 21st of May. I write this to you whose experience with the Holy Spirit is as life-changing as ours, all due to his straight dealing and the intervention of Jesus. Grace and peace to you many times over as you deepen in your experience with him. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the Holy Spirit, the one who has invited us to God, the best invitation we ever received. Don't lose a minute in building a relationship with the one you've been given. With this relationship active and growing in your lives, no day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of him. So, friends, confirm the Holy Spirit's invitation to you, his choice of you. Don't put it off. Do it now. Do this, and you'll have your life on a firm Holy Spirit footing with the way wide open into the eternal kingdom of Jesus. Because we forget sometimes all that Jesus instructed us that we've been looking at in these past several weeks, how important it was. Jesus said the work of the Holy Spirit, this third person of the Trinity, is predicated on my leaving. If I don't go away, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. And so there's this critical aspect in the plan of God as it works itself out that Jesus came and introduced the kingdom. He brought in the power. He cracked open the windows of heaven so that earth would be invaded. But at the same time, Jesus knew that there was more work that needed to be done in order to build the church. And so his leaving paved the way for the Holy Spirit to come and give birth to the church and to empower us to get the job done in this world, but beginning in our own hearts, obviously. So we need to remember how important Jesus found it, how important the Father found the sending of the Holy Spirit. And it was obviously powerful. It was obviously very important to them because he did it in the absolutely most spectacular of fashions. It's kind of this never-to-be-forgotten kind of thing. And this is what we want to celebrate on the 4th of June, because our lives, as we sang this morning, we are desperate for him and we're lost without him. And so we need to remember that. So moving into these 4 points this morning, everything is about getting up close and personal with the Holy Spirit, and then these 4 things. Number one, we experience authentic life change with God. And just happened to see on television this week people showing up at someone's door, knocking on the door, and they have a bouquet of red roses. some helium balloons, and an oversized check. Have you ever seen anything like that? Do you happen to know who that might be? Publishers Clearing House, of course, everybody knows. And so they're introducing to the unsuspecting homeowner that they've just won. In this case, there was one I was looking at, it was a lady. She's just won $5,000 a week for life, transferable after her death to someone else. So if we opened the door and there were three people standing there plus a cameraman, and there was a bouquet of red roses, a bouquet of helium balloons, and someone standing there with an oversized check, would that change our lives? Or would we just close the door and tell them to go away, or I'll call the police? Would it change our lives if someone came, gave these things to us, and then left? Would we do anything? Would we change anything about the way we live? And at first, we might be skeptical and go, well, you know, I'm not really sure about this. But, you know, after a few months, say 4 months has gone by, you know, there's an extra $80,000 deposited in your bank account. And you might start thinking, boy, I could probably use some of this. You know, that right might really help. And I look at this and I look at the way believers live today, who've been given the Holy Spirit, who lives in them, who is far more powerful and far more life-changing than $5,000 a week, because this is for eternity. Those $5,000 a week won't change anything about your eternity unless you come to know who Jesus is. But we often live impoverished spiritual lives because we haven't experienced what the Holy Spirit has come to give us, to introduce us to this authentic life change. So often, as I was being brought up in the church in Eastern Canada, every Sunday morning was a gospel message. Every Sunday morning included an altar call, and when you responded, you prayed a sinner's prayer, and presto change-o, eternity was set for you because you were in. And the next week we did the same thing, and maybe more people would come. But there wasn't a great emphasis on what happens next. Now what do we do? Yes, I know Jesus is my Savior. I know He died for me, and I know it's for eternity. But for most of us, there is a long time between that prayer and the time we see Him face to face. And what do we do with that time? Well, that's where we are to build, and we have the opportunity of having this authentic life change, this deepening thing where the Holy Spirit teaches us and introduces us and reminds us, as Jesus said, He will remind you of everything I've taught about. And He'll make it clear to you, and He'll make you understand. Even though you didn't understand it when I was teaching fully, Jesus said, and He often said, you know, how many times do I have to tell you the same thing before you get it? And, you know, so one of the things that we gather, that we gain, that we live, is this experience of an authentic life change here with God. And so it would be terrible, just like the Publishers Clearinghouse Prize, to win it and then live as if nothing ever changed. Maybe we lose the house and lose everything we have because we can't afford to pay it. And meanwhile, all this money is stacking up in the bank. It's just kind of a silly scenario. And I think it would be really sad for us as believers, as those who believe that the Holy Spirit has come to give us these things and not to live with it. The second thing about getting up close and personal with the Holy Spirit, number two, we receive grace and mercy many times over. Since your conversion, since the day you were born again, since the day you understood that Jesus was your Savior, have you received grace and mercy once even? You know, we sang this morning, I am desperate for you. I'm lost without you. And some people take exception to that. Some people don't really like to think that, but as we look at ourselves in the mirror, we realize, I think, most of us would say, you know, that's really true. The only way I make it through is because God intervenes with his grace and his mercy. And so we receive grace and mercy through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He reminds us, he shows us, he points us to Scripture. He intervenes in ways that are amazing. As we look, often we're not aware of it as it's happening, but as we look back, we realize, wow, look at all the things that God put in place to make this happen or to prevent this from happening. And so, and as we mess up on a repeated basis, you know, it's nice to know that there's forgiveness and there's mercy that gets extended to us afresh in those circumstances. But we only understand that and we only receive it as we're aware of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. What is his ongoing ministry in our lives? So those are the experiencing the authentic life change instead of 20 years after the fact, and we're still living exactly as we were before, even though at some point we've prayed to receive Jesus, but it hasn't really changed our outlook. All those things have stayed the same. We're every bit as fearful, we're every bit as angry, we're every bit as lost, maybe, in the way we're living. And it's tragic because something else is available to us. And the receiving of grace and mercy is a daily thing for us, I believe. The third thing about getting up close and personal with the Holy Spirit, we deepen in our one-on-one friendship with Jesus. The amazing, wonderful, glorious thing about the Trinity is that they're three in one. They are interconnected. They work together. They are God expressed in three persons, as we would say. And so they complement, they work together. And so the Holy Spirit is here in us now, who believe, directing us into a one-on-one relationship with Jesus. That's his, I think that's his main job. That's his main goal. His main ministry is to point us to that ministry, to that friendship. And I was thinking of when a baby is born. You know, that's miraculous. That's wonderful. And you see this newborn, and they're so beautiful, and everybody coos over the baby and has never seen a baby as beautiful as that. But you know what? That baby is born, but that baby has a lot of work to do. There's a lot of growing up that needs to happen. And so as I was seeing Evelyn come in, and she's on her way to being 4 months old now, there's been a few changes in Evelyn since the day she was born on the 1st of February. And we want that to happen. We expect that to happen. We want them to grow. Well, then sometimes they grow too fast and we wish they'd slow down. Yesterday, I was at Olivia's graduation, and pretty much all the parents got to speak because they were the teachers, they were the profs, they were the superintendent of the school division as homeschoolers. But they were all basically saying how quickly these children have grown up from, and they were recalling days when they were little and they were babies and then they were toddlers and then young people, and all of a sudden they blossomed into these young adults, and it's just amazing to see them growing up. And so you just, and then of course we had pictures of anywhere from babies all the way up through their graduation. So it's expected that a child is going to be born and have a lot of growing. When we're born spiritually, when we're born of the Spirit, when we understand that we are sinners and we're in need of a Savior and we accept Jesus as our Savior, that's our birth point. But there is so much growing to do there. And if we're adults, there's so much undoing of bad habits. I was telling somebody just last week about teaching myself to type on a typewriter. And it was back in the dark ages before electricity hit typewriters. And it was a great big, heavy, black Underwood typewriter. Most of you have never heard of them, maybe. But I taught myself to type without any idea how you did this. So it was kind of a very speeded up, you know, seek and find, and then I got faster because I started knowing where they were, but I had absolutely terrible technique, had no idea you were supposed to use both hands to do this. And so in high school, they made us take a typing class, and I remember the teacher just practically tearing her hair out. It's like, where did you learn to do this? I taught myself. To which point she said something like, it looks like it. And so it was really hard to undo all those bad habits. And I eventually got it half right. And so to this day, I still use some of the techniques, although autocorrect really messes up my spelling like crazy because I just depend on somebody else to do it for me. But in our lives, we have so much that we need to undo, so many things to unlearn, old habits, bad habits, thinking that we've had, that we need the Holy Spirit to come and direct us back to Jesus, direct us back to that safe place, back, direct us back to biblical truth, to truth. All truth is God's truth. So we need to be directed back to what is true, not just what feels good or feels right or what everybody is doing. We need that relationship with Jesus that is the protection, provides the grace, provides the mercy, provides that life change. And so we get, with the Holy Spirit, we get to deepen in that relationship. And it gets sweeter and stronger and more powerful as we go forward. So not only experiencing authentic life change, receiving grace and mercy, deepening in our one-on-one relationship or friendship with Jesus. Number four, this is the amazing thing I've said here, we participate in the very life of God. That's what Scripture says. We get to participate in the very life of God. He calls us into his kingdom to be co-workers, co-laborers in the extending of his kingdom. And as we look at ourselves and we ponder where we've been, it's just like, wow, how did God do that? And there was, I've mentioned this before in this devotional book called New Morning Mercies by Paul David Tripp. Today's reading was so important. I just wanted to read it because it works so well here in this calling to participate in the very life of God. He said, it really is location, location, location. If you're going to live with peace of heart, with courage and hope, you have to know your place in the work of God. There are two markers of that work that really do locate you, tell you what God is doing, and inform you as to how you should live right here, right now. As I've said before, you live between the already and the not yet. First, it's vital for you and me to always remember that we live in the already of complete forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a hope it will be thing. It's an accomplished and done thing. You do not have to hope that you'll be forgiven. You do not have to be concerned that the process of forgiveness will somehow fail. Why? Because your complete and final forgiveness was accomplished on the cross of Jesus Christ. The perfect sacrifice of the completely righteous Lamb fully satisfied the holy requirements of God and left you righteous and without penalty in his sight. So you never have to worry that you will be so bad that God will reject you. You never have to hide your sin. You never have to do things to win God's favor. You never have to cower in shame. You never have to rationalize, excuse, defend, or shift the blame. You never have to pretend that you're better than you are. You never have to present arguments for your righteousness. You never have to fear being known or exposed. You never have to compare the size of your sin or the sin to the sin of another's. You never have to parade your righteousness so it can be seen by others. You never have to wonder if God's going to get exhausted with you with how often you mess up. All of these are acts of gospel irrationality because you have been completely forgiven. On the other hand, it's essential to understand the not yet of your final repair. Yes, you've been fully forgiven, but you've not yet completely rebuilt all from all that grace that will into all that grace will make you. Sin still remains. The war for your heart still rages. The world around you is still broken. Spiritual danger still lurks, and you have not yet been fully reformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus guarantees that all these broken things will be fixed, but they're not fixed yet. Forgiveness is complete. Final restoration is yet to come. Knowing you live in between the two is the key to a restful and wise Christian life. So we get to participate in the very life of God because our forgiveness is complete. Now the world, the enemy, and our flesh would say, oh no, that's not true. I still feel guilty. Scripture says Jesus' sacrifice paid the entire price for our sin so that no more sacrifice is necessary. So we are free of guilt. When guilt feelings come, we need to recognize that the enemy is just after us and wants to have our lunch. So complete forgiveness is ours. The final repair is part of the not yet, but he's doing all of that. He's still paid the price. We aren't there yet, but he's going to make us get there. He is faithful and he will complete the work that has begun in us, Paul tells us. So as we get closer to the 4th of June, let's remember that there is a lot of work Holy Spirit is doing in us and wants to do in us and wants to remind us. And so our goal, and I mentioned this inside the bulletin, our prayer, that we would dare to scope out the biblical treasure that's our inheritance, risking a radical head-to-toe makeover. That God is doing this work, and he wants us to experience authentic life change. He wants us to receive grace and mercy over and over again. Hallelujah. He wants us to deepen in our one-on-one friendship with Jesus, and he wants us to participate in the very life of God. All this provision we have in him. Wouldn't it be tragic to know we've got this and we don't live it fully? And wouldn't it be tragic if we have this treasure, as Paul says, in earthen vessels, but we refuse to let the glory shine out of us the way it's intended to do, so that all those would know it doesn't come from us, it comes from him. The Holy Spirit's at work. The Holy Spirit is speaking. The Holy Spirit wants to remind us, teach us and correct us and encourage us and comfort us and all of these amazing things that are his ministry in our lives. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, thank you for being the faithful interpreter of all that Jesus has done, for reminding us, for inviting us, for including us, for shaking us up sometimes, thank you for reminding us again just how rich and full and ongoing is your ministry in us. Help us to know more fully what that is so that you also can work through us. We can't give away what we don't yet know. So teach us to know these things. Teach us to grow up and to know this fellowship, know the extent of the grace and mercy that are ours on a 24/7 basis. Help us to know how forgiven we really are. How much that takes us off the hook, really, to know that you introduce all of the dimensions of our forgiveness. So we bless you this morning for this amazing life that is ours. And when we don't understand, you're there to clarify. And when we don't get it, or when we've been taught wrong things, or we've we've taught ourselves spiritually how to type without really knowing what we're doing. You bring correction. You show us really how it's done. You simplify, you clarify, and then you flood us with joy, with peace. And those two things, joy and peace, are the most attractive thing in this dark and sin-sick world. With those, we bring the aroma of Christ to the people who are dying around us. So thank you for using us as messed up and broken and as confused sometimes as we get. Somehow we just need to understand that you've given us this. And you qualify and you equip us, and then you send us out with this work to do. So we're just grateful for how much you do, how much you've accomplished, and how far we've come by your grace, by your mercy. And we bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
We have some prayer requests that came in, and the first one I was told verbally for Andrea, that it's the pain in the hip. Okay, I just didn't want to name the wrong body part. So, yeah, and then we have one from Angela for Mike, her husband. And he has to receive shots for his knees because he's got bad, I guess, arthritis. She wants prayer for him, for courage. I think Mike has the courage, but getting a shot in your knee, you know, that takes a lot. That takes a lot, and it takes a lot out of you. So pray that, you know, he has endurance, the pain of the shot. And then we got these other prayer requests from the Woodwards. And there's three of them. Pray for our friends, Beth and Nick's marriage, that there will be forgiveness. Forgiveness and healing, protection from the temptation, and open hearts to hear God clearly. Now, that's a very good prayer request. And then her friend's husband, Bobby, and this is physical esophageal cancer diagnosis this week. Outcome not promising. And Amelia knows a little bit about that because her mom had esophageal cancer and had to have surgery. And then our neighbor, I think Mr. Ron, possibly the same thing? Yeah, same thing. Wow, it's amazing. Also cannot swallow and losing weight when you have that. So we have to pray for them. I know we're going to pray, lay hands on for the hip pain. If y'all don't mind, I'll pray for these because the people aren't here. So I can pray specifically if you'll just agree with. Let me pray for Mike first. Okay, so we'll pray for them. Father, we come to you. We come to you humbly and ask for prayer for healing or for just a sense of understanding for Herb and Gwen, going through this, seeing so many doctors, Father, and the outcome, Father. We pray a clear mind, a healing of the mind, and on Herb and the physical body. Father, you ask us. You say we can pray these prayers, and we ask that. And we just have faith that you will intervene in this situation, Father. And we just pray for just courage for both of them as they walk this together. And we pray for Mike Anglin, a good friend, a good father, good husband, and he's going to go through some pain. We pray for the courage, and I know he's got courage. I know him personally, and he has all the courage. It's just let him endure the pain, let him just take it easy, and we just pray that the pain would be lessened by your Spirit, Father. So we just pray healing to come quickly afterwards. And we pray for both Bobby and Mr. Ron for this possible esophageal cancer, Father. And we know that's always devastating news, cancer, the term cancer. So, Father, we pray healing. We pray intervention by the doctors to just heal that doctor being you, Father. Healing. Healing in that area of the throat, Father. Yes, Father. Just come be with these two. Especially not being able to swallow, Father. We just ask that esophagus just be open. Nourish them, Father, with your Spirit. And we pray for their family, that they be there to just by their side, just to help them. And we pray for this Beth and Nick. A marriage is a wonderful thing that you have given. Father, let your Spirit come in. Let there be a sense that the forgiveness that and healing and protection from temptation, Father. Temptation is everywhere in this world. Father, I pray just a hedge of protection on them, Father. We do not want to see another marriage broken up. We just declare this marriage to be healed, to be whole. And I pray words of encouragement to the Woodwards that they be there. They're the example of a good marriage. Let them be there to encourage them, to pray with them, to give them support, Father. We just thank you. We just seek healing in all these situations, Father. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen. So let's gather around and let's pray direct healing for that pain, that it be gone. Pain is not fun. Pain is not good.